I want to take a few moments now, and I want to talk from the theme. Again, new seasons, new orders, new assignments. But I want to talk about this, discerning his divine intentions. Discerning his divine intentions. You may be one who, maybe even before the pandemic, but certainly going through it and on the other side of it, you may be one who's saying, God, I just need to know what we're doing here. I just need to know what I'm doing. Because things seem to either be taking so long or they're not happening. I need to know what your divine intentions are for me. What are your divine intentions for our nation? What is your divine intention for the nations? We are in new seasons, new orders, new assignments. And God works his works through his intentions. In Ephesians 1, I'm reading verses 3 through 12, it says this, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." Excuse me. "Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us to adoption as sons." Say mature ones. Come on, say mature ones. Yeah, that's what we're talking about. "As sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will." According to the divine intention of his will. "To the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the beloved." He's talking about Jesus. "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us in all wisdom and insight. He made known to us the mystery of his will according to his kind intention," according to his divine intention, "which he purposed in him with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of all the times." That is the summing up of all things in Christ. "Things in the heavens, things on the earth. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to his purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his will, to the end that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, would be to the praise of his glory." Discerning his divine intentions. Another way to say it is discerning the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. I was sharing with the team, God is not making this up. This isn't a makeup as we go along. It's just unfolding before you and I. And we're having to navigate through this season of the pandemic, and it's causing us to need to get our bearings once again. Through this pandemic, it has caused the church, the body of Christ, to kind of spread out some. There is a significant need and importance for the gathering of the body of Christ to come together. Does anybody here maybe feel like when you came in, you were like really tired, just, but after time in his presence of worship, you felt a little stronger, felt a little better. Is that three of you? Or, I mean, I can't see any hands, so yeah. I mean, I fall in that category as well. So there is the need, and God's going to help us, going to help the church, the body of Christ, the ecclesia, to move past the lethargy, the heaviness, shake off any and everything that's clinging to us as a result of 2020, and begin to move back into a place of community. But I want you to also recognize this. Now that we have so many working remotely, meaning working from home. Now that many are working from home, it changes. Now hear me now. It changes the potential, the strategy for kingdom influence, kingdom impact, and kingdom results in the marketplace. Everybody can't stay home. Because God is about winning all the world. He's about moving through every sector. He's about moving through every sphere. And it isn't just the Sunday morning gathering. Now it's good to come together on Sunday so that you're strengthened. So that like earlier when we say, come in empty, I leave filled, bring all sickness and I leave healed, and brokenhearted, you mend every piece. Come in captive and I leave free. That's what the gathering is about. So no matter how you come in, through the worship, through the prayer, through the community, now you're strengthened as you can go back to that job that you used to like. And maybe you're okay with the assignment, but it's about recognizing, listen, we have to be discerning of his divine intentions, and that means we're going to have to sometimes step back and kind of allow ourselves to reassess. There are assignments. Thank you. There are assignments, opportunities that will seem beyond reason. Your abilities and your capabilities. But hear me, you must be willing to work through being uncomfortable, feeling unprepared in that new assignment, and trust God to settle you in your place. I'm talking about discerning his divine intentions. Because just because it doesn't fit your narrative, just because it doesn't fit your theology, doesn't mean that it's not God. The kingdom of God is big. It's vast. And as I've been finishing up this new book, Same Faith, Same God, Living in the Realm of Ridiculous Faith, a dear brother, a dear friend of mine who I asked to write an endorsement for the book. He's also an author himself, well-respected, works with ministries and pastors all over the country. We connected at the Cove, the Billy Graham Retreat Center, about 2 years ago, as I was invited to be a part of those retreats and to lead worship and to teach. And we connected. And I sent him the book. He read it. He wrote me back. He said, I was divinely challenged. I was divinely challenged. Now, I like that. He said, I was divinely challenged. But then he went on and said, a couple times I felt that you were on the theological edge. And we're good enough friends that I could say, well, you know, what do you mean? So he sent me a little teaching that he did. He sent me a teaching that he did, not a little teaching. He sent me a teaching that he did. And I listened to his teaching, and he had referred to it in his email that he wrote a very powerful endorsement of the book. Very powerful endorsement, but it challenged him. When he said, you know, you were like on the theological edge, I'm wondering whose theology? Because again, the kingdom is vast. The kingdom is vast. So I like to think of it this way. When I see him, I'm going to tell him, I'm going to see him in a few weeks in New York. I'm going to tell him, you know, Jimmy, I think you live on the east side of the kingdom. We all in the kingdom, but I think you must live on another side of the kingdom. And we'll laugh and handle what we're there to handle. He's inviting me into his world. He's inviting me into his space. And it ties into what I'm saying right here. When I says you must be willing to work through being uncomfortable, feeling unprepared in that new assignment. Trust God to settle you in it. In discerning his divine intentions, you and I must recognize that God is often moving, and he's not moving based on your ability to comprehend it. It goes back to one of the Matrix movies where it says your comprehension is not a prerequisite for your cooperation. Simply meaning, Janet, you don't have to understand everything. You don't have to be able to figure out everything. We walk by faith and not by sight. We like to quote that. We like to think that. But oftentimes it will be tested. God moves in ways, he's going to move in ways that's going to challenge all of us. In Isaiah 45, it talks about God using Cyrus. I'm just giving this as an example. It talks about God using Cyrus. This is what it says, and this is his intention, his divine intention. Thus says the Lord to Cyrus, his anointed, whom I have taken by the right hand to subdue nations before him and to loose the loins of kings, to open doors before him so that gates will not be shut. I will go before you and make the rough places smooth. I will shatter the doors of bronze and cut through their iron bars. I will give you the treasures of darkness and hidden wealth of secret places. Now just listen to what I'm saying here now. He says, so that you may know, divine intention, so that you may know that is, it is I, the Lord, the God of Israel, who calls you by your name. For the sake of Jacob, my servant, and Israel, my chosen one, I have also called you by name. I have given you a title of honor, though you have not known me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. Besides me, there is no one. I will gird you, says, though you have not known me, his divine intention, that men may know from the rising to the setting of the sun, that there is no one besides me. For I am the Lord, and there is no other. The one form, I love this, the one forming light and creating darkness, causing well-being and creating calamity. I am the Lord who does all these. I think this morning I sang some of the things we went, because that's where I see him, and I just need to keep my perspective right there, that he is the sovereign Lord. We say, arise, O God, take your rightful place upon your throne. His divine intentions, the workings of his divine intentions, will often mean his using, orchestrating others who you and I may not think are saved. Not sure how they fit in, but they're a part of God's plan. They're a part of what he's doing. What is going on here? What is Isaiah talking about? In order to understand the depth and the breadth and the gravity of this statement, you've got to go back or forward, whichever in the scriptures, but you've got to go to Ezra and read 1-4. So when we go to the book of Ezra, man, I haven't got off this first slide yet, and I got about 20 of them. Don't get nervous, y'all. I was joking. That wasn't. I don't have 20 slides. You're like, oh my God, we're going to be here till tomorrow. In order to understand the power in this word, now we have to go back to Ezra. Ezra chapter 1, verse 1, it says, now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, listen to this, in order to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah. What word is he talking about? Talking about the word that you and I find in Jeremiah 29, 1 through 14. We read Jeremiah 29, we like to read Jeremiah 29, 11. I know the plans that I have for you. Plans for good and not evil, to bring you to an expected end. But in order to appreciate him saying that, you got to read the rest of it. Because what the prophet says is, while you keep trying to get out of this situation, God says, no, I'm going to let you stay here for a while. 70 years. But at the end of 70 years, I'm going to come get you. And when I come get you, you're going to come out wealthy. You're not going to be destitute. He says this, but while you're here, settle in. Have your families. Strengthen your families. Build nice places. He says, because as you go, so goes the welfare of Babylon. What he's saying is, so I need you to fix your attitude, because you're going to be here a while. And if you and I are going to not only discern his divine intentions, but benefit from his divine intentions, then we've got to be able to see it the way he is presenting it. So it goes on in Ezra and it says this. The Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, moved on the heart of Cyrus, so that he sent a proclamation through all of the kingdom and also put it in writing, saying, thus says Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord God of heaven has given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he has appointed me to build him a house in Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Now, what's happening here? God is moving on the heart of a heathen to fulfill his word spoken by his man Jeremiah 70 years earlier. Don't think for one moment that God is not keeping score. Don't think for one moment he doesn't have a time clock. Don't think for one moment he's not counting it down. When God moves, he sets it up at the ending and then backs it up to the beginning. And so what we are seeing here, Cyrus is now being moved by God to do something that really wasn't in his heart to do. I'm talking about discerning his divine intentions. The God of heaven has given me the kingdoms of the earth, and he has appointed me to build him a house in Jerusalem, which is in Judah. It says, whoever there is among you of his people. Now listen to this. This is God getting his people out now. Whoever there is among you of his people, may his God be with him. His people, may his God be with him, says, let him go. Let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and rebuild the house of the Lord, the God of Israel. He is the God who is in Jerusalem. And then it says this, and every survivor at whatever place he may live, let the men of that place support him with silver, gold, with goods, cattle, together with a freewill offering for the house of God, which is in Jerusalem. And so you go on and you'll read and you'll see how much was given to them to fulfill that word. So when we talk about navigate through this season, I'm praying, I'm encouraging you to pray. I'm praying for you that God will give discernment concerning his divine intentions of where you find yourself in this season of your life. For some of you, God has purposed to move in incredible ways, and he needs you to not be daunted by what he's doing. I found myself sitting down listening to a couple of messages over the weekend from Kenneth Copeland's conference, and it's always some powerful teachings that they bring forth. But it stirred up in me that faith that I grew up on as a teenager, not as a young child, but in my pursuit of God. And then I'm watching and I'm listening and I'm hearing the Father say to me, remember this, remember this, remember this. Be open to this. Don't be daunted by this. You're going to be a little uncomfortable for a minute, but stay with me till I get you settled in. And then I started recognizing, Kevin, that's been a normal part of my life, finding myself in these varied settings where I have to get in and discern the divine intentions. Not what I want it to be, not what I think it ought to be. See, that's what messes us up sometimes. But what is it he wants? What is it that he's doing? On three separate occasions, between 96, 97, around that time, I was doing some traveling around the country. I found myself in various meetings and settings with different people that I didn't know, being invited in. I'm watching last night, and I'm watching and I'm listening to Jesse Duplantis, and he's talking, and he has this beautiful tie on, has all these colors in it, and I'm looking at it, and I'm saying, I know that design. That's a collection called No Boundaries. Now, the reason why I know it is because I got three of them. This is one of them. But the significance for me is not just the line is called No Boundaries. It's who gave me the ties and the connection as a result of walking. See, this tie was given to me by a name named David Van Coovering. Now that means nothing to probably most, if not all. David Van Coovering, if you Google him, David, and there may be a son named David as well. David Van Coovering is an inventor, visionary. David Van Coovering, along with Bob Moog, M-O-O-G, musicians might, Andy, you ever heard of the Moog synthesizer? M-O-O-G? Yeah? Yeah. Bob Moog and David Van Coovering were on the team that developed, designed the laser disc that you and I now call CDs. At the time, David was working on a project. I was invited in with two other gentlemen to help him in coming up with some software, some ideas for a line of pianos that he was doing. We went and we met with him on a couple different occasions. And we're meeting and we're talking. And I said, David, that's a beautiful tie. He said, you like this tie? Yeah, he took it off. Just gave it to me. It's yours. I said, well, thank you. A few months later, I'm in a meeting amongst prophets. So he's an inventor. Now I'm amongst prophets. Now I'm in this setting again. I'm trying to discern the divine intentions of God. Now I'm looking over, sitting across the table from a gentleman named Chuck Pierce. Some of y'all know who Chuck Pierce is. Some of you may not. Chuck is a well-respected prophet in the body of Christ. had the opportunity to do some meetings with Chuck over the years. Chuck, that's a beautiful tie. Oh, you like the tie? Took it off, gave it to me. That tie has fire on it. It has flames on it. Next time, I'm at a trip. I'm down in Dallas, Texas. I'm down there meeting now for a prophetic conference amongst apostles and prophets. I get out the car, and standing there is a man named Bill Hammond. Bill Hammond, apostle now, founded CI, Christian International. I jump out. Dr. Hammond, how are you doing? And he talks, anybody know Bill Hammond? He talks fast. He prophesies fast. You got to slow down the tape to even know all what he said. How are you doing, young man? I said, that's a beautiful tie. Oh, you like this tie? He took it off, wrapped it around my neck, said, I now baptize you in CI. I said, thank you. I don't know about in CI, but I received the tie. Here's my point. God will give you connecting points along the way that become significant down the road in your journey. But you've got to be in a place where you're willing to work through being uncomfortable in a place you might find yourself in, particularly in this season of the settings that God's going to move us into. I want to rehearse just a few things that I've talked about as God's given me a mandate concerning kingdom. I made reference of this last week, and I'm just going to teach maybe about 15 more minutes or so, because I don't want to rush this, but I need us to get it. I need those of you that are watching, I need you to get this. Because there's so much that weighs in the balance. I spoke to this last week, but I wanted to get it on slides. I wanted to get it up so you can see it. We're going to put it on our website if it's not already there. But I want to talk to you about these three kingdom assignment considerations. Three kingdom assignment considerations. And the reason why this is important, because you see, most of us will think our assignment is based on what we do best, what we like to do. As a matter of fact, very well-known gentleman speaking on purpose one time, and we were sitting talking. He says, you want to know what your purpose is? You want to know what your purpose is? Find that thing that you love to do that you would do, you know, for free. Do that. That's your purpose. I said, I'm not sure about that. Because if you think your purpose is to sell drugs, brothers, listen to me. I ain't no slight, okay? Just stay with me. If you think your purpose is to dance on a pole in a club, just pull in the visual. Now, come on, stay with me. We're going to plead the blood over that. I'm not trying to give you. I'm talking about things that you and I can gravitate to out of our flesh that has nothing to do with God's divine intentions. They have nothing to do with the ultimate kingdom assignment that God has for you. Because my reality has been this, Marcia. With every kingdom assignment, it's going to come a degree of death. Can anybody testify to that, or is it just me? Am I the only one who's self-afflicting or something? I have found that with every assignment, I've got to let something go. There was absolutely no realistic reason for me to ever leave my assignment in Cincinnati in 1995 at Christ Emmanuel Christian Fellowship. We had just recorded what still is the most successful recording I've done to date, The Nation of Praise. And yet, that night when I walk off that platform, God says, this season for you is over. Because you see, one of the things that we must get in this season, if we're going to be effective moving forward, and if we're going to really, really manifest the kingdom of God and the power of God in the season and in the cultures, we got to understand this right here. Kingdom assignments are not always preferred assignments. Now, remember I talked about, I'm not trying to build a team, I'm trying to raise an army. And in an army, often you just get orders. That's it. Those of you that have served in the military, you know that. You just get orders. You don't have a superior officer coming to you saying, you know, I just want to give you a few options here. What do you think about this? They just give you your orders, they give you your papers, and that's it. Kingdom assignments are not always preferred assignments. They often encompass a demand that is seemingly beyond our capability and sometimes go beyond our desire. Meaning, I wasn't really feeling this. But it's part of God's plan. It's part of the work that He's doing. God will put you and I in some amazing places where it seems like we're about to go under, except that we continually cry out to Him for His favor, for His grace. And He wants it that way. So at the end of the day, you and I can't take credit. We're going to be like Gideon when he told him, you got too many. That's why I'm not bothered by numbers. Because this place will be full. I just need to stay the course. You just need to stay the course. We just need to stay the course. We are discerning His divine intention for the embassy. And it is unfolding every day. You must be willing to posture yourself to discern His divine intentions for your lives, because they are unfolding every day. Because we are creatures of habit, because we like to make uncertain things certain, we plan. There's nothing wrong with that. But the scripture says this, man plans, but God directs. And so at any given moment in your plan, in my plan, He can give a direction that totally moves it out of the way. And then what do? Kingdom assignments are not always preferred assignments. They often encompass a demand that is seemingly beyond our capability and sometimes go beyond our desire. It will require faith, obedience, sacrifice on our part to see that the goal is accomplished. I sit amongst a group of business leaders, Christian business leaders, a business/economic task force as part of the Great Awakening Project. This group of people around the country that are assembling themselves. We're coming together in about 2 weeks down in Birmingham, Alabama, coming together with every sphere of the business and education and the church and family, arts, entertainment, all the areas of the seven spheres that have been identified are converging now. We're inviting people to come in. When I was asked to be a part of it through my friend and brother Ford Taylor, he said, I believe you're supposed to be a part of the business task force. He said, I believe you're supposed to be a part of the business task force. Now, Ford knows me. He knows of my gift in music, my gift in worship. He knows that I'm a pastor. He knows that I'm a teacher. He knows that I'm an apostle. But he didn't point to that sphere. He said, I believe God told me you're supposed to be a part of this sphere. And so what I had to do very quickly was wrap my mind around His divine intentions. And I also recognized that what He was saying is, son, I need to put you in the environment that's going to help you to think now, think differently now. Because you see, creative people think out of the right side of their brain. No one's intellectual, but what's the word I want to use for the other side? The logical. Yeah. There's the creative side and there's the logical side. Now, I do my best to try to work within both. But quite honestly, I enjoy the creative part. I work with the logic and the administration and the business side. And so what God says is, I'm going to put you in an environment that causes that side of your brain to grow now. Because if I'm going to bring millions to you, I need to set you up so that you can think as one stewarding the millions. And so I find myself, and this is a word for some of you, as God begins to open up doors for you and you find yourself there, don't let the enemy bring that thought in your mind, what are you doing here? Like with that kind of little attitude, what are you doing here? Don't let somebody ask you that. What are you doing here? Why are you here? I'm appointed of God. I'm assigned by God. And you learn to stay within it until God brings about his divine intentions for why he has you where he has you. Secondly, there is grace that comes with every kingdom assignment. Every kingdom assignment. As you grow in God, as you go in God, as you move out in God, as you mature in God, you will have multiple assignments, and there will be grace for every assignment. As you discern his divine intentions, then you're going to be able to draw on that grace. There's a grace that comes with every kingdom assignment. I like what Frank DiMaggio said concerning grace. I'm not sure that this would be a definition, but it's a wonderful statement of grace. And it says this, grace of God. I don't have this on a slide. I didn't put this one in. So just listen to it very intently. Grace of God, an instantaneous enablement by God in the power of the Holy Spirit to do or say something beyond one's natural ability in order to fulfill a specific purpose of God in the time frame in which God permits it. Now, I know that was a mouthful, and so I'm going to Kevin, come here. Kevin. Yes, Kevin. There's only one Kevin in the building right now. Kevin, come here real quick. I want you to take my phone back to Pastor Deborah there. Hold on 1 second. So that she can, Pastor Deborah, I just want you to put this in real quick, okay? I need you to see it. And some of y'all do well. Some of y'all take pictures of the slides. I think that's great. But we'll also get them to you. While she's doing that, let's focus on this. There is grace that comes with every kingdom assignment that is only released once you have accepted the assignment as being from God. Why is that important? Because in your discerning of God's divine intentions, if you don't settle, I'm supposed to be here. If you don't settle, I'm supposed to buy this. I'm talking about now the building. If you don't settle those kinds of things, then you won't have the faith to draw on the grace that comes with the assignment. There is grace that comes with every kingdom assignment that is only released once you have accepted the assignment as being from God. You cannot keep wrestling in your mind, is it the Father? Is it God? Maybe it's not. All while you are in the valley of decision, time is going by. Can I tell you something? Some of the most weighty times in your life will be in that valley of decision. But once you make the decision, it seems like something lifts. Even if it's not the right decision, but just make a decision. But just don't stay in limbo. It's kind of like my pastor, Bishop Garlington, was sharing one time. He was talking with his brother, and he was saying to his brother, I don't know what to do. And his brother says, well, do something. God can't work with a zero. I mean, he's saying, you move, he'll bring about the correction to the movement. Okay? But if you just keep sitting there, things don't get done. That's why he comes to Joshua in Joshua chapter 1 and says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now get up. Because Joshua is still waiting for something that's now past. That season is over. There is a grace that comes with every kingdom assignment. I'm telling you right now in this season, there is grace for you concerning assignment that God wants to move you into. Maybe it's the assignment that you're already in. But you have to settle that it is an assignment from God, whether you really like the assignment or not. Because there's grace for the assignment. Any other perspective will potentially lead to feelings of discouragement and thoughts of time being wasted when, in fact, no time in God is ever wasted. When you know that the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord, you believe your steps are ordered by the Lord, no matter where you find yourself, you can trust and believe that God is working in that time frame. Thank you, Pastor Deborah. I see you have that up for me. Grace of God. Read this with me. Here we go. Grace of God, an instantaneous enablement. How many would say, I need that grace right now? I need that grace for me. I'll take your grace. And anybody else is right about now. That's how the grace of God works in various seasons of our lives. The third point I want to make here. Walking out a kingdom assignment requires a much bigger perspective. It requires a much bigger perspective. It requires an eternal perspective. It requires a kingdom perspective. Now listen to this. A perspective that says this assignment, this season, I'm talking about where you find yourself, is part of something much bigger, grander, more glorious, yet to be revealed. Another way of saying that is, don't allow the enemy to cause you to live your life out of Polaroid snapshots. All of life is in motion and moving. And where you find yourself today, you will not be here tomorrow. You won't be here next week, even this time next week, if you're in the building. And so there is the need for you and I to maintain a perspective that sees God as reigning. I still see you high and lifted up above the earth. And I still hear your voice above the noise, loud and clear. And I still know your kingdom reigns. You reign, you still reign in majesty. You still reign in authority. Your power and your might are greater than the fight that I'm in. It's about perspective. That's why God gives me those kind of songs, Georgia. Because he loves me. He says, I need to give my son something to encourage him. In turn, I give it to the body to encourage the body. A perspective that says this assignment, this season, is part of something much bigger, grander, more glorious, yet to be revealed. It will be this constant reminder. What constant reminder? That eternal perspective, that kingdom perspective, the perspective that says this assignment, this season is part of something bigger, grander, more glorious yet to be revealed. It will be this constant reminder that helps to recalibrate our feelings. Why is the word recalibrate? Because life has a way of causing everybody at some point to get a little down. Life has a way of causing everybody to get a little discouraged. And so we need those recalibrating moments. For me, that recalibration comes out of my own personal life of worship. It comes out of my time spent with the Lord. I trust for you, it's the same, whether it's music or whatever it is. But we all need that time of recalibration. Everybody needs a time of recalibration. Jesus needed a time of recalibration. The scripture says that when he went into the Garden of Gethsemane, says, as it was his custom, meaning that it was a part of his practice, that he would get alone. I'm sure after a while he said, y'all wearing me out. Now he wouldn't say that because he didn't say one thing outside of what God, but you better believe he felt it because it says, the scripture says, we have a high priest who can identify with every feeling. What did he do? He pulled away, recalibrated, stepped back in. We see that in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's weary. Now he's coming down to his final hours. And he needs a recalibration. Father, if there's any way to remove this cup, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. Those words is what shifted it back and recalibrated it and got it where it needed to be. It says an angel came and ministered to him. When in agony, he prayed more earnestly. There's the key. When in agony, he prayed more earnestly. When you find yourself weighted down, when you find yourself pressured, that's not the time to run off and hide. That's not the time to get down on yourself. When in agony, pray more earnestly. Find that place of prayer. Find that place of worship. I've learned to run into the place of worship in God. And so many of the songs that touch the nations now have come out of those times of recalibration. It will be this constant reminder that helps to recalibrate our feelings and thoughts as we endeavor to do the will of God. So I think I'm going to stop there for now. Next week we're going to talk about the four kingdom assignment realities. I don't want to rush this. And we have some things that we want to do as we finish out our service. So let's do a quick recap, going back to slide number one, Pastor Deborah. Discerning his divine intentions. There are assignments, opportunities that will seem beyond reason, your abilities and capabilities. You must be willing to work through being uncomfortable, feeling unprepared in the new assignment, and trust God to settle you in your place. Let me give you another quick example. I mentioned in 2 weeks or so I'm going to be going to New York. I get an email from this gentleman, the same guy that wrote the review for my book, and his name is Jimmy. He's a wonderful man, wonderful friend. He sends me this letter. He calls me JW. He says, JW, he said, God has put it on my heart to bring together some key leaders from around the country. He said, and I believe you're one of them. He says, I'm asking if you'd be willing to meet us in New York. And he says, the date. He says, we're going to pull together. It's not going to be a large group. We're not doing a conference. He says, we're pulling together a key group of leaders, pastors, and leaders from around the country to come together to pray, to repent, to pray, and to seek God for answers. And he says, would you be willing to come? That's part of my assignment. Now, I don't know anybody there other than him. I don't think I'll know anybody, but it really doesn't matter. I'm talking to you now about kingdom assignments and discerning his divine intentions. It says, it will require faith, obedience, sacrifice. I'm sorry. I'm not at the same slide. You must be willing to work through being uncomfortable, feeling unprepared in that new assignment. Trust God to settle you in your place. Trust God to settle you in your place, just like you trust that employer to train you on that new job. Three kingdom assignment considerations. Kingdom assignments are not always preferred assignments. They often encompass a demand that is seemingly beyond our capability and sometimes beyond our desire. It will require faith, obedience, and sacrifice on our part to see that the goal is accomplished. There is grace that comes with every kingdom assignment that is only released once you have accepted the assignment as being from God. Don't let the enemy rob you and tell you you made a mistake. I have to believe, I choose to believe that every one of those disciples that followed Jesus had to navigate through the feeling of, did I make a mistake? When they saw him getting whipped and beat and hung on that cross and his body taken down, and they still didn't understand what he meant. And I can only imagine that they had some family members saying, I told you not to follow that guy. There is grace that comes with every kingdom assignment that is only released once you have accepted the assignment as being from God. Any other perspective will potentially lead to feelings of discouragement and thoughts of time being wasted, when in fact, no time in God is ever wasted. Then I believe our last slide was this. Walking out kingdom assignment requires much bigger perspective. Come on, can you say, God, open my eyes? Come on, say, God, open my eyes. A perspective that says this assignment, this season is part of something much bigger, grander, more glorious, yet to be revealed. So don't get stuck. Don't allow yourself to get stuck. Allow that thought to be a constant reminder that helps to recalibrate your feelings and thoughts as you, as I, as we endeavor to do the will of God. Amen. Well, would you thank the Lord for this word if you believe that this word is speaking?